Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Playmakers, 3:04 on the clock, 4th of March. Your host, James J. here, joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, March, huh?
Yeah, I had to remind myself that it was March. I'll be completely honest with everybody.
It's maddening.
Nice. We got the fourth period coming up at 3:30. Head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to be joining us.
You're victorious.
Yes, that's nicely done. Yes, victorious. We got high school sports to get to with Randy in a little bit, but we're going to kick off our show with our good friend Ross Provost from Burnin' Eights joining us. Ross, how you doing?
Good, guys. It's been a little while. It's good to be back talking with you.
It has been too long. Ross, I imagine that you and the kids, everybody a lot older now. It hasn't been that long. But it has been a while, and we appreciate you joining us, man. How have things been with you guys? I want to talk to you about the Wisconsin Muskie Expo. I was talking with Randy before. Heard that you just were able to upload a new video. Let's hear how things have been with you all.
Yeah, so we with the nice weather, especially this past weekend, It kind of put us into the itch of, open water season, which is, it's March, but boy, it seems a little closer than we actually are.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Either way, we made it through the winter season here. We didn't upload quite as many videos as we normally do, just because we've been so busy kind of just doing life in general and kind of catching up on things. But musky season was a little on the tougher side for us. We put in a decent amount of hours, maybe not as much as we always have past years, but the fish didn't quite hit the net as often as we would have liked, but we still did have a few highlights up in northern Minnesota. We did really well up there towards the end of July. That was a fun time. Had a couple big fish hit the net there. One was 49.5, so we're still kicking out videos as much as we can, but we're hoping to kind of ramp that up a little bit more going into the upcoming muskie season here, which kind of leads us into the Wisconsin Muskie Expo, which is coming up in just a little over a week here in central Wisconsin. So it's kind of show season is the fun time where you get to ready for a new season. You're buying new baits, you're looking at new gear, and you just get to talk muskies with people that you can tell stories and stories and stories of big fish. So that's always fun.
Yeah, Ross, we've really been enjoying what you guys have been able to upload. It's been some great work, as always, by you. I don't know how, but in the years we've been talking, you seem to somehow get better and better with these videos and the coverage. I hear the audio much better. There's a couple of videos I listened to, I would say, right in the beginning of fall. I think it was somewhere around there, where I felt like I was on the water with y'all. It was really great. It was awesome. For those of us that don't get to fish as much as we'd like to, I live vicariously through you and your team over there. With the Expo coming up on the 17th, we'll get more details about that in a moment. What are some of the things, we always look forward to these, getting to see people you don't get to see all the time, the communication, contacts you make. Are there some headlines for you and your team that you're looking at for this Expo in particular?
I think the biggest thing for us is just get in touch with the fans, the people that are watching our videos. And obviously we've kind of heard a resounding, hey, where you guys been type of thing, because we haven't uploaded as much, which obviously it's good to know, people are looking for you and you still have that fan base. So I think that it'll be nice to get in front. Like a headline for us would be just get in touch with the fans that they want more videos, and we can kind of just talk real life with them as far as what we did experience, what they experienced. We like hearing their stories too, which is, it's fun to hear how their season went, or if, a certain new bait was successful for them. And a lot of times, we've heard from some viewers that they bought from, bought baits at the prior expo that they seen on our show that worked for us, and they caught, big fish on it. So it's like, that's a great success story for us to hear, people that they're seeing things in our shows, getting ideas, learning some things, and it's putting fish in the net for them. So, ultimately that's kind of one of our big goals is, one of our biggest goals is just to help people catch more fish, show them why, we do the sports, whether it might be, whether it's musky fishing, turkey hunting, or, bow hunting for deer. So, there's people out aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The neat thing there Ross is listening to the conversation you had with Rich on your latest video, which was very well done, by the way.
Thank you.
Looking at all of the different baits that he was going through and showing, and some of the baits that you guys are going to have as well. Plus, I think he was also talking about some of the line that can be used and the necessity of having good line, because he said it's the only thing between you and the fish, and you don't want to be losing
good line. That was good. That was a good line right there.
Yes. Good. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what's going to be there, and I think he talked about the vendors as far as maybe being full this year.
Yeah, that's one thing that was neat to hear, just talking to Rich, as far as the owner, and he runs the Wisconsin Muskie Expo. They really tried to expand this year and bring in more vendors than they have over previous years, which, I mean, it's been a full show from my vantage point. From, you know, the past, I think we've been there, this will be our fifth year as a vendor, and, you know, seeing that, plus I've been there even before we were vendors, and it's just like there's a ton of booths there with, you know, baits and everything to look at. Well, now they've really expanded, and I think they're kind of pushing their limits, but they just wanted to open the floor to get more of these small batch manufacturers, people that might not be selling thousands and thousands of baits, you know, industry-wide with the muskie, but they're still making nice quality baits that are catching fish, and get those out in front of people. And that's kind of where people can get hands-on with new baits, new colors. I mean, colors is a big thing, you know, that people, you know, they kind of come up with show colors, you know, just to get new colors that people can add to their arsenal. And that's a kind of a fun thing, just to see what people are come up with, new colors, new designs. And it's when you hear that it's bigger and better than ever, that's always a good thing as far as what they're hoping for this year's show. So
I know one of the things you were talking about on the video was the different colors, and you mentioned Fire Tiger, which is one of my favorites that I always like to use. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned that you and Jake also designed something color-wise, and you were talking with Rich about that as well.
Yeah, so we've, we kind of decided that, you know, well, we figured out colors, obviously, over the years that have worked well for us, whether it be in stained water, clear water, just certain colors that kind of pop more and catch the fish's attention. So we've kind of tried to implement, obviously, we designed some of those colors, and now we're basically offering them to viewers and fans, you know, through our website or, you know, at the show. It's the same concept, that they can get their hands on baits that are working for us and colors that are working for us, and we're hoping to kind of just lessen that gap of them trying to, you know, come up with colors or whatever. It's kind of, you know, this is what works. We, you know, they can see it in action in our videos, and they can go right to, you know, the expo or to even our site and just buy what's working for us. And that's it's a fun thing, I think, for us to come up with different color combinations and then see them work. And it, you know, because we fish, you know, different color water, whether it might be clear, more stained. So maybe some of those more stained water, you're pulling in brighter colors, something that stands out a little bit more, that catches that fish's attention. And that's it's always fun when it, you know, a plan comes together, as they say, as far as colors. So.
Mm-hmm. Ross Provost from Bird and Eights joining us. Ross, I think it'd be a great idea that after the expo sometime, when you guys have time, join us again, let us know how the expo went, and we can get people ready for the next season and everything.
Absolutely, yeah. We got turkey season coming up here in a few months, and that's always a fun time, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're looking forward to the expo, and I think that the Wisconsin Muskie Expo is always just it's a fun atmosphere for us too. It's kind of it's family friendly, and then, you know, it's not just muskie baits there too. I mean, there's people selling meat, there's people selling crafts, there's artwork. So it's a wide range of things that people can actually come there and enjoy. So
I know you guys even sell clothing, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
We do. Yeah, we have some apparel there, and there's plenty of other people selling apparel too, which is, I think, you know, we go to some other muskie expos just as spectators and just walk around and just look at the baits and talk to people there too. But there's always a nice feel to this one. And it's like I said, it's kind of family friendly, and you see, you know, people of all ages there enjoying all sorts of different aspects of kind of Wisconsin in general.
Mm. Join the team from Bird and Eights at the 2023 Wisconsin Muskie Expo, March 17th through the 19th.
It's actually 15th through the 17th.
What did I say, 19th? Oh, okay. Oh, is it? Okay. All right. Excellent.
Sorry.
Excellent.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. Good to know. I want to make sure we get it right. I wanted them showing up and there's nobody there. Ross, we appreciate you. I got to encourage people as well. Check out the YouTube page for Bird and Eights. Just type it in your search bar, Bird and Eights. It's a great YouTube page to subscribe to. Subscribe to their mailing list as well at burning8s.com. Check out out some of that apparel Randy was talking about and those lures that Ross was. Ross, thanks again for the time, man.
Yeah, well, it's good to talk to you guys, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks for having me
on. Sounds good. Yeah, take care. Again, burnin8s.com. Be sure to bookmark that page, everybody. Sign up for that newsletter. You're not going to be disappointed. I tell people this all the time, Randy, when I'm talking about Ross and his team over there. Even if it's been a while since you fished or you don't get a chance to fish that often, or maybe you're not into fishing, I bet you're into conservation. I bet you're into seeing some of the most beautiful parts of Wisconsin. You can get all of that with the burnin8s team. They do such a great job over there.
And that expo is fun. I think I've been there every year that Ross has been there as well. And you can walk around. I know my son gets a two-day pass because he just loves to go back and talk to the different vendors and see all of the great things that they've got on display. And, you know, some of them have replica mounts of muskie. You know, they throw them back, but they take all the measurements and make their own. Like he said, there's food, there's apparel, there's just – it's just I think everybody's just excited because it's spring.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And everybody just wants to get out fishing, and, boy, it's a great time. So head on up to Rothschild and get over there to the convention center. It's right by the movie theater.
Yeah, and you get to go to Rothschild. You know, I mean, that's a beautiful area. Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great area. Great area. 715-424-2600. We'll open up the phone lines in a moment here. Randy's got to leave us a little bit early today, so we're going to go right to high school sports. Make sure to make him work. to the point, you already have been. There's a lot to cover here, Randy. I do want to start with the Assumption girls. I do want to touch on that really quick before you get going, because as the audience knows by now, I'm sure, Albany 47, Assumption 45. Not the way we wanted the season to end, but we never want the season to end. Even when they win the championship, we want them to keep playing. So we're spoiled around here, and we are because of that great squad, that great coaching staff, the families over there that get these kids to the games, these refs that cover the games for us. We love our local high school teams and appreciate them so much, giving us so much great entertainment.
How many times haven't you and I said that on the air here, that we have got some great coaches, some great athletic directors, some great people in this area, and they always treat us so kindly. The Assumption folks were kind enough to let us ride on the bus on Thursday and again on Saturday so that we didn't have to go trekking our own, and just had a great time with them as well. And yeah, disappointing, but you know, you lift your heads up, and that was the cool part, you know, after the game that maybe people didn't know is that all of the Assumption people were up standing and applauding. Even they're applauding Albany Monticello as they were receiving their awards.
Right on.
And they all got together in a circle, you know, after the game. And that's what high school sports should be like, and that's what it was with them.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. We love championships. Love to host up that gold ball and a silver ball or anything like that, but it's all about that right there. Those kids learning in those moments. Anybody can smile when you're winning. Anybody can keep their head up when they're winning. How are you when you're losing? And that's something that you can carry with you through life. Even if you never pick up a basketball again, you can carry that in life. That's really cool to hear. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and coaches, you know, Klein, Jay Glinsky, Nelson, they just go out of their way to help us and make us feel comfortable, and we're really appreciative of that. We'll just touch on that in just a little bit here. First, though, there were state championships held in three sports this past weekend.
Crazy weekend.
First, at the Fieldhouse in Madison, team wrestling occurred, and in Division I, Wisconsin Rapids won its quarterfinal match with a victory over Hartford Union, 41-22. Then in the semifinal, they got past Muskego, 37-28. And in the championship match, Kakana made it four straight championships in a row as they held off Rapids 36-27. So we got to give a big congratulations to Coach Bennett and his squad and the coaching staff for bringing home a silver ball. Mm-hmm. Division II, Luxembourg Casco hoists the gold again this year, defeating St. Croix Falls 36-19. And in D3, Fenimore clobbers Coleman 46-16 for the title. The state gymnastics championships were held here in Wisconsin Rapids. There were no local teams involved. However, in Division I, Franklin Muskego captured first, and Verona Edgewood ended up in second. While in Division II, Elkhorn area topped the West Salem Aquinas Bangor Co-op for the title. And down in Middleton, one girls' team and two boys' squads captured gold in hockey. For the girls, the Central Wisconsin Storm defeated an 11-team co-op. 11 teams over in the Green Bay area. They're called the Bay Area Ice Bears.
Whoa, great name.
Isn't it?
Huh.
4-3 was the victory there.
Oh, nicely done.
And they were the defending champions, so
kudos. I was going to ask.
Yeah. Okay. So the Central Wisconsin Storm, usually they are headlined by DC Everest. For the boys in Division I, Green Bay Notre Dame won its second straight title, 3-1 over the co-op from Brookfield East. While in Division II, St. Mary Springs knocked off top seed and defending champ New Richmond 6-2. Well, the girls' sectionals were held around the state this past Thursday and Saturday. Division 1 through 4, there were no area teams still alive. Division 5, however, the Assumption Royals defeated Lord's Academy on Thursday night. That was a great game. That game was 44-44 with like 6:45 to go. And the Royals held Lord's scoreless.
Whoa.
The rest of the game. Sarah Shaw had 15 points. Anna Schooley ended with 14. Saturday evening down in Hartford, Albany Monticello got the game-winning layup with 6 seconds left to end the Royals' fine season at 47-45. Sarah Shaw had 12 for Assumption. Addie Vollard added 11. Division 5, Pittsville. They popped Athens on Thursday, 45-38, as Reese Grimm poured in 22. But then on Saturday, Pittsville fell to Lena, 66-57. Lena's got one really good player. She's like 6'1", and I think she's a D1 recruit.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so Lena will be heading off to state, and as will Albany Monticello. Also this past week, the boys began the tournament trail. Division 1, as heard on our sister station, WIRI, Chippewa Falls rallied from a 21-point halftime deficit to defeat Wisconsin Rapids, 69-64. Sean Reynas had 23, while Brody Gilbertson and Traden Clary added 15 and 14, respectively. You know, what's really interesting about that was it was 39-15, and the point guard for Chi-Hi throws up this half-court shot just before the buzz, and he banks it.
Oh, man.
And you're like, I hope that doesn't come back to haunt. No. Also in Division 1, Marshfield then beat Chi-Hi 81-40 and then knocked off Kimberly 67-55. They will next face Kaukauna on Thursday. Stevens Point also picked up two W's as they hammered Holman 69-51 and Everest 59-44. They'll take on Nina this Thursday. Division 2, Wausau East is still alive as they topped Merrill 60-52 and survived Rice Lake 55-53. Ooh. That was a thrilling finish, too.
Yeah.
They'll face River Falls next. Meanwhile, Mosinee was upset and eliminated by Fox Valley Lutheran 76-61. We saw Mosinee against Rapids. They had a good squad this year, so Fox Valley Lutheran got the upset there. Division 3, the Dells earned two victories, both blowouts, 83-32 over Viroqua and 79-35 over River Valley. Next up is number 1 Platteville on Thursday. D4, Cusa season draw to a close at Poinette, 54-46. Number 1 Marathon, they struggled past Colby. That was a 3-point game with just a couple of minutes to go, but they ended up getting it into Mr. Warren, and he finished the deal, 69-55. But they won handily over Stratford, 68-41. They'll now take on Auburndale. That'll be for the third time this year. They pop Phillips, 69-42, as Evan Scholl had 26 points. And then the Eagles edged Edgar, 62-46, with Scholl again leading the way with 19 points. Division 5, Assumption was eliminated by Elmwood Plum City, 74-72. That was also on a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
J.T. Schlafer scored 22 points, while Jack Wiedemeyer had 17 and Logan Nystrom 15 for Assumption. Port Edwards blew out Oliva Strum 68-40 as Brendan Beck poured in 26, but the Blackhawks bowed out in Game 2 to Alma Center Lincoln 73-49. Beck again led the Hawks with 20 points. Pittsville lost to Loyal 66-36. Jacob Hardinger had 13 for the Panthers. Loyal then lost to Columbus Catholic 66-48. And the Dons then beat Alma Center Lincoln 69-43. And finally, Almond Bancroft beat Wild Rose 62-25 and Tigerton 75-30. The Eagles will now face Three Lakes, who slipped past Pacelli 65-63. And of course, we talked a little bit about Coach coming in here shortly. Of course, they had, like we said to him, come on, make this just a 2-game series.
Yes.
Don't be going into Sunday. So, you know, our wish is their command.
Yes, it was really nice of the team to do that for us.
So they beat the Mullets 6-0 handily. They outshot Minnesota 51-28 on Friday, and then on Saturday, they were actually down 2-1 in the second period. They led 1-0, gave up 2 goals, and then they got 2 in the third, and they rallied, and they won 3-2. Again, outshooting the Mullets 45-24. And then again this weekend, Friday and Saturday, we hope not Sunday, but if it's necessary, at home against the Minnesota Moose this time. So beat as many Minnesota teams as we can.
Yes, we always love that.
That's
around
the
here.
Rule.
I would say it was around midnight, maybe a little before that on Saturday, that I got to catch the score of the game. And I've been dying ever since then to talk River Kings hockey. And I've got to wait another almost 10 minutes here until Coach gets. But I appreciate you covering local sports so well, Randy. Thank you so much for all of that. We're going to talk hockey with Coach coach in a moment here. But before we do that, I want to go back to the Assumption Royals, the season, and that game. I did not, like some of our listeners out there, we had some great ratings for that game, as we do always for high school sports. But I was able to catch the beginning of the game. I wasn't able to catch the last couple of minutes. Was this game a game that could be had by either team? Because it felt like from the box score and everything that Albany kind of had this one. And that for me, that the Lady Royals giving a valid effort all season long, but at a certain point you run out of bodies. It felt a lot like that for me. Is that how it came across to you?
Yeah, when the ball was out in the open court and there was some bumping going on, the fouls were called, and then underneath they were letting him bang, but that's the way they called it. They made the adjustment. There was a stretch there where the Royals were down at halftime by 5. It could have been worse. Albany had the ball up by 8. They hit a 2 or a 3. They could have been a double-digit lead, but instead the Royals got it down to 5 at half, and then they started second half on an 11-0 run. So then the Royals were up by 6 at that point. And it was kind of like that until about the 7:45 mark. And then all of a sudden, it was 34-29, I believe, if I remember correctly. Maybe 36-29. I think it was 36-29. And then Albany just kind of chipped away. And a couple of minutes later, there's a timeout. And now it's down to like 45-41. Mm-hmm. And then they play a couple more minutes. And now it's all of a sudden tied up, right? And so now Assumption's got the ball with a couple of minutes left. And they worked the ball around, got a good look at it from the top of the key. It didn't go. And there's one point in there where the Royals hit a three-pointer and it got wiped out because they got called for a blocking foul. And that kind of changed momentum a little bit. And then Albany just put it in the hands of their senior, and she just took it length of the court and laid it in with 6 seconds to go, and that was your difference.
With especially sports in general, but especially at the high school level, we got some young players on this team.
Absolutely.
And these players, future them, are going to be really thankful for this experience.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Albany put it in the hands of their senior. They're going to be that senior one day. Right. And so this stuff may hurt right now, but that's so motivational, and that's data that you can only experience in the moment like this. You can't simulate this stuff. It's got to be done in real time. And I for somebody that always looks at silver linings in these situations, in almost anything, to me, I hope that's something that they're taking from it. I know that the coaching staff is. They're too good. They're too smart and too good at what they do to not be doing that. I'm sure that they're taking notes on that, too, of, hey, this is experience. There's no such thing as bad data. It's all stuff you can learn from. I come back to my favorite quote, my last 10 years of my life or whatever. I never lose. I either win or I learn, you know? And that's what they did there. They learned a lot there. And they can take that in the next year.
And you're right. You know, you talk about putting in the hands of the seniors. Well, Lydia Smits was the only senior that was able to play because Kendall Dillman hurt herself, became injured, not herself, but she became injured on the court about a quarter of the way through the year. So they only had one senior playing for them. So they had all sophomores and juniors. They got a couple of sophomores that are going to help them out again next year as well. So, yeah, you hope you learn from it, right? And you move forward from there.
And we're looking forward to spring high school sports coming up and everything. That's right around the corner.
Next week they're going to start throwing the ball around.
It's crazy, yeah, yeah. We've got a lot of fun to talk as far as River Kings go, because we'll be doing that in about less than 10 minutes. We'll have the fourth period beginning here. Looking forward to it. But before we go to break, Randy, I did want to take a moment to I don't know how to rightly word these things, but over the weekend we lost a legend in Chris Mortensen. And I think for my generation, for yours to a degree, and that we're so eternally thankful to the Chris Mortensens out there, the John Claytons, the Peter Kings, the people that covered this sport so well. And before pre-internet, when if I wanted to know news, well, I just jump on this app or that app or whatever, or go on to this. At that time, if you were somebody that loved football and loved the sport, and you were dying for information. There was a time and age where football did take a break. It did go away for a couple of months. I know this is far-fetched to some people out there. It sounds like science fiction, but it was actually a thing. These guys kept it around for you. And for me, like, John Clayton was my guy. I love John Clayton. As soon as he was must-see TV to me, Chris Mortensen was right there with it. And while I greatly appreciate all that, what I appreciate even more about Chris Mortensen and his legacy is the people that he helped build up. All we heard over the last couple of days is the Adam Schefters, the people coming out and saying, Mort, it was my reference to get this job. Chris Mortensen, at the age of 50, I heard a great interview with Adam Schefter where he's talking about this. Adam Schefter right now is the age Chris Mortensen was when they hired Adam Schefter. And for in your mid-50s, in that industry, you know, the last thing you're doing is helping out people that are coming up, you know? That's what you're taught and all that. That's sports. You're not supposed to do that and everything. Take the Brett Favre angle and that kind of thing. Not Chris Mortensen. Chris Mortensen was helping Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter was the first person to tell you he's not where he is without Adam, you know, Chris Mortensen. And there's so many other people like that. To me, that's, I don't know if there could be a better legacy than helping others get up on the ladder, than reaching out and making sure that other people get an opportunity. You got this spot, so I'm going to make sure other people can. It's about the information. It's not about Chris Mortensen, the reporter. It's about the information, and I'm second. And I, in a day and age like this, I hope to God that we have more journalism like that going forward, certainly in sports, but in all of journalism, where it is about the story, it is about the article, it is about the work, the content, more than the person. I don't begrudge people their fame. I don't begrudge people getting paid. Get your job, man. Get your paycheck. But I love the where Chris Mortensen and that group of reporters came from, where they loved this stuff as much as we did. They were fans just like we were, and they were sharing information. They were just as excited. John Clayton was so excited and animated about some of the things that he did. He wasn't an animated kind of guy. Chris Mortensen was the definition of class and respect in that industry, and he will be missed very much.
You know, speaking like that reminds me of just with me being a teacher, I bet if you talk to any teacher, they'll say, well, the reason I'm a teacher is because of this teacher who was before me. I think of my teacher, Mr. Gosdick, right? I mean, he was our fourth grade teacher. We just loved that man, right? And we said, mm-hmm. we're going to be a teacher, too, because yeah. we want to be just like him, right? Mm-hmm. And then you think of the relationship between those two Chris's, between Chris Berman and yes. Chris Mortensen, you know, yeah. Mort, Boomer, right?
Yeah.
And the back and forth they would go, and it just would bring a smile to your face.
And right now, just thinking about
the interaction they had with each other, and like you said, the respect that they had for one another, and there's some guys you trust, you know, when they tell you a story. He was one of those guys, wasn't he?
To that point, nicely done. Dan Patrick, I heard just on the way in here a little bit, he's talking about, he worked with Chris Mortensen pretty closely over the years, and there was a time where he's at the anchor desk, and they got to go, they got breaking news, Mort is reporting on this, they want to go with it, but the producer's like, well, we have to confirm it before we go to air. And Dan Patrick's like, it's Mort, it's good. You know, it ended up being good information, and they had to double check it, of course. You have to nowadays, or even then. But still, it to the confidence that they had in him and everything, I think that's really a great note to wrap on. And we look forward to taking your calls. Fourth period is coming up, everybody. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us. As we go to break, breaking news, Randy. Broncos notified Russell Wilson that he will be released after the league year begins March 13th. Ooh. Whoa. Bomb right there, breaking news, as Russell Wilson is going to be a free agent. Wow.
So who's he signing with March 14th?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I got to think he's going to be signing with somebody fast. That guy is not going to be a backup somewhere. No. We'll go to break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Let's start the fourth period. It's time for our chance to talk a little bit of Wisconsin Rapids River Kings hockey with our GM and head coach and a friend, Paul Peckman, joining us right now. And Paul, we've got Bora with us. You're one of your main goalies over there. Looking forward to talking with you guys. And I got to be honest real quick, all right? My energy is at a high right now. I got to calm down a little bit. It was like about a... So like 10:30, somewhere in between 10:30, 11 o'clock Saturday night, crazy Saturday, I check the score and I see the score of the game from Saturday night for you guys. And I have been dying ever since then to talk to you guys about this game. Let's cover the basics real quick. First round of the playoffs, the first game Friday night, 6-0 win. Nice victory right there. And I want to start off with you, Dobie, because how was it for you in the net that game?
I have to admit, it was a whole team effort. Like, defensemen were blocking shots for me, saving my back, holding on for the back doors, and we worked as a team to accomplish that.
When it's a game like that, first off, I should ask, how much experience do you have like this, being in a playoff atmosphere, being in playoff hockey?
This is my third year, so yeah. It all began 2 years ago when I was playing back in the European University Hockey League, and that's when I experienced my first playoffs. Then last year here with River Kings, and this right. year.
So with that experience going into this one, did you feel a little more set in the ring, in, you know, between the pipes there? Did you feel a little more, or that nerves and just the same as any other game?
So with the nerves, I do a lot of meditating before right games, so that helps me a lot. That's something I've came across last year with one of my friends who studies sports psychology, so she helped me about it a lot. But besides that, since I had a little bit of experience since last year, I was going in and I just head down, yeah. knew what I had to do.
I appreciate you sharing
job
that.
Done.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that.
What people don't realize is that he was very, very sick that night mm-hmm. and pitched a shutout, right?
So, right.
He played tremendous.
It was impressive when I saw the box score. Knowing that makes it just even more impressive, man. And, of course, a hockey player is not going to share his information. Share that with me, Coach. Thank you for sharing that.
What
Thank
nobody
you.
Realizes yeah, is we yeah. didn't practice until Thursday.
Hmm.
The whole team was sick.
Oh, man. Like,
we had optional skates. We didn't have a goalie in practice until Thursday, right?
Huh.
So we practiced Thursday night, Friday morning, and then he pitches a shutout Friday night. So it was pretty impressive.
Being superstitious sports fans, so that means we're going to be sick the rest of the play. No, no.
Well, we do have a few guys still sick.
Still kind of have.
I shouldn't joke about that. But that's incredible to know, man. Especially in a every sport, everything you do, practice, reps, it's all about that. But in hockey, it is so much more vital than it is in almost any other sport not have that rehearsal, that practice time and everything.
Well, especially for him because he's very regimented. He wants what he wants to get him prepared, right? And that's what you want for your goalies, is to make sure that they're seeing enough pucks, they're feeling it, and they're going through their routine. And that really threw a monkey wrench into our whole week. So it was tough to prepare, and hopefully that this is why what we do during the year, mm-hmm. right? So hopefully prepares you so that when you get hit with something like this, you still know how to handle it, you still know what you need to do, and you go out and you get it done.
It's a great way to start the playoffs. It's a solid way to start the playoffs, man. And it sets the bar. It also, it sets a tone, not only for you guys, but for the rest of the league and everybody you're facing. When it comes to just looking at the box score real quick, for Friday's game, shots on goal, 28 for Minnesota, 51 for us. Now, I want to focus on the 28 for a second there, because, you know, your average hockey game, that's around, you're going to get somewhere between there, 35, 40-some shots and everything, especially this division. But I feel like when I'm looking at River Kings scores, and we've talked about this before, Coach, a lot less shots on goal. I don't want to make this sound like it's, like I'm not, I give you a million points of credit, brother, for pitching a shutout in that game. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that when I ask you about that, you immediately push to the team, because that's where I want to go. I want to ask, how much your defensemen help you in those situations? I feel like the average shots on goal for the River Kings against us is a lot less than your average team, in part because of that. You can only do so much back there playing goalie. You as soon as the pucks come in your way, you got this. But those defensemen up there, that's your first and only line of defense sometimes. How much has that helped you this season?
To be honest, more than enough. So defenseman and our captain, Lucas Whitehead, who stopped over 80 shots. He blocked them, helped me out a lot. Also with the back checking from our forwards as well, that helped us out on the back doors. They did save my back a few times.
Yeah.
A few times this year.
Appreciate that, man. I really do. I'm sure that they would say the same thing about you. that there are times that they were right there for something, just miss it by a hair, and you've got some save that you made or something. Because, whew, it's been fun watching you play. It really has been. I appreciate you being in town. I have really, really enjoyed, just selfishly, personally mentioning it, let alone for everybody else that, of course, enjoys hockey. Looking at the Saturday night and touching on this a little bit, Coach, I want to go to this in between the second and third period. Where just break this down for everybody. Game's going. You come in out of the first period empty. Come into the second, 2-1. Them ahead. Going into the third period. Now, spoiler alert: we won. But going into that, what was your conversation with the boys?
It wasn't pretty. I'll tell you. Especially when they scored 12 seconds left in the second period. Yeah, right. So that was just not something you wanted to give up. I think the message for the most part was that we got to go, we're going north and we're throwing everything that we got, and it's just constant pressure, right? And then it'll go back to your conversation about the shots on goal, is that there was a sense of urgency, right? We're not, right? This is not going to go to Sunday. We're going to get this done now, and we're going to throw everything we got at the net here, and we changed the forecheck. We went to it too hard. Forechecking here, we got to create turnovers, we got to get shots, and we would just collapse in front. So it was just a matter of time. I think Omer Tudic got the tying goal, which was only a couple minutes into the period here, and then SJ LeCompte got the winner, right?
So, yeah.
I think that was the message, right? Am I missing something?
I think you covered it all.
The PG version. Did you remember?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But I think that was it. Was like, you know, whatever happened, it's done with, right? This is what we got to deal with, and this is how we're going to deal with it, and it's going to be, you know, full court pressure.
The second round is upon us. It kicks off this weekend, and we, of course, got more home ice. We got these games right here in town as we're taking on the Minnesota Mullets.
Moose.
Did I say Mullets? I meant Moose. I'm sorry. Those Minnesota teams, you know. But the Mullets, with the experience, because we talk about this in playoffs all the time. You and I have even, I think, last week talked about this. You start the playoffs, records are 0-0. And none of the previous season, none of the previous data matters. We say that, and it's certainly true to a degree. But you do have experience with these teams. You have played them a bit. How much does that help or hurt going forward, going into it? Because you don't want to make assumptions either about these squads.
No, it's good to know who they are and what they're all about, right? But, the roster's changed so dramatically during the course. Look at ours, right? It's changed dramatically. So we know who they are. We've watched them right now. We watched, and our job this week is to do our homework and watch a couple games recently, how they're playing and who's doing what, and just be prepared. I mean, it really doesn't matter at this point. How many times they won against us or we won against them, it doesn't matter, right? 0-0, and go out and let's go play. And hopefully we're prepared.
When it comes to the shots on goal, I want to wrap up on there. But on our side of the ice, and I did say our, I shouldn't do that. There's no journalistic integrity here.
You should, absolutely.
When it comes to that, I notice a huge difference on our team. One of the things I was talking to my dad about, he had a coach that used to tell him in his wings, hey, look for the great shot, look for the right shot in that. And he always, for him, he felt like, If I see any daylight, I'm taking that shot. You just don't know. Is that more of your philosophy, pepper the net? It's more of that than looking for a perfect shot that may or may not come?
I do say that a lot, right? I mean, I want pucks at the net. I want guys crashing the net. You got to get in front of goalies. Goalies at this stage, their careers are pretty good, right? So if you don't get in front of their eyesight, you're never going to score. So I want to get as much and keep them as busy as possible. Listen, when you're up 4, 5, 6 goals, then you can get a little fancy. But you can't waste golden opportunities. And we have a tendency of doing that sometimes, and which is why you win 6-0 and now you're losing 2-1 going to the third period, right? Because we get comfortable, right? So my job, mainly on the bench, is you got to keep that sense of urgency here, right? It's 0-0. it may be in the second period. It's 0-0. You got to win the period, right? How do we win the period? You got to have more momentum, more tempo, more energy, right? You got to bring it. Come mm-hmm. with it. And, you know, because each shift could be their last if things don't go the way that we need them to go.
Right, right. Right.
So that's the mentality, and that's the way I coach. And so far, so good.
Right on. Bora, again, thank you for the time. Appreciate you being here, man. Thanks so much. And have a great week here of rehearsal practice. Enjoy yourself this weekend, and you guys have fun out there, okay?
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Coach, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time. We are going to be building up that home ice advantage all week long. Every show, every time I'm on the air, we're going to be telling people to get to that rink, your tickets, make sure that you are showing this team how much you appreciate them, because you mentioned that about the players. It's like that for us as fans, too. We never know what might be our last quarter or last period here or something like this. We want to get down to that rink and appreciate every second of River King hockey we have. Most of this audience, I've talked to some people over the weekend. We can remember some years where it wasn't like this, where we didn't have a playoff run. We weren't playing hockey right now. We're spoiled. We're lucky to be having this right now. We're going to appreciate every second of it, man. I should let the audience know, because this is an audio medium. I am in my Sandy Koufax Brooklyn Dodgers uniform today. I wanted to wear my River King stuff. I'm wearing it on the weekend to get ready for get momentum for the weekend and stuff. But, Coach, you are a New Yorker, if I got that right, right? All right, so I'm trying to represent a little bit of New York here for you. I'm trying to cover a little bit of it. It's the closest I can get, man. I'm sorry. But we do appreciate you and appreciate the time for you guys. Thanks again.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Find out more and follow your River Kings all over social media, wherever they you have social media, be sure to follow them. And bookmark the webpage, riverkingshockey.com. Get your tickets right there and find out more information. We'll be back with more Playmakers right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good Monday out there. Got about 10 minutes left to show. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. We want your phone call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. You're listening to us on the Civic Media app. Thank you. You're just a touch or two away from calling and joining the conversation. Big shout out to our guests today. I want to thank Randy Paul for sitting in with us and all the great coverage that he brings to us. I didn't get a chance to really thank Randy for all the on-air coverage he brings us to high school games. I make no bones about this. Randy and Kevin Harlan, my two favorite. I put Greg Olson up there, too, but those are my favorites. And I love listening to any chance Randy could call Randy could call a tiddlywinks contest, and I would listen to it. I'd be all on the edge of my seat and everything. So we appreciate the work they do. Big thank you to Coach Peckman for joining us. Really do appreciate the time from him. And Bora Villadarium, our wonderful goalie over there, and a great team. Find out more at riverkingshockey.com. Let's find out more from you. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Why, you almost said morning again, James.
I almost said it. Caught it.
Well, you know, it was a great hockey weekend, at least for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, you know, Friday night, went and watched the River Kings, watched them pitch the shutout, then went down to Madison, even though they didn't play for the conference championship on Saturday, still saw a great hockey game, great senior night for those seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you one thing, I don't know what Wisconsin's going to do next year for goalie, just Kyle McCullen. Wow.
Yeah, that kid's going to be that's not the last time we're hearing his name.
No. I mean, he's up for the Mike Richter the award for top goalies in the country. He's like one of the top guys for that. So, and he proved it on Saturday. I mean, there was a couple times that he's lying flat on his back, and yeah, you got to credit your defenseman and your other players to help and try to keep the puck out of net, but I mean, he made some goals, and I mean, granted, there was one. I really thought they were going to get out of it. They were on a 5-on-3 penalty power play, and it wasn't until the last 10 seconds of that 5-on-3 that he kept the puck out of the net.
It's
it ended up being a great pass from the Michigan State player to his guy, you know.
It's so close.
They made the shot, so, you know.
I can think of a couple of games this season where just a move here or there, a play here or there, and it might have a different record coming into the postseason. But I'm glad you mentioned the senior night, especially because some of those names we might be seeing, playing in NHL jerseys pretty soon here, especially former Badgers. It's not uncommon, that's for sure. A shout out to the women's side as well that we'll be covering right here at WFHR. As far as they go, we'll be following them and playing their games.
Yeah, they had a really good weekend against there in two. So, but walking through the Kohl Center and it's kind of neat because one side at the Kohl Center, up above kind of behind above the concession stand there in the first level, you have all the players that are in the professional level from basketball to hockey, mm-hmm. and it's just seeing some of those names and. You got Chris Chelios' jersey sitting up there. Pavelski. You just have all those guys up there and
getting goosebumps over here, man. Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Just thinking about. I've only been to one arena that has that. I've been to the United Center twice. And just walking, I went there once to see a stand-up comedian, the other time to see a Blackhawks game when they were just like they were okay, but they it was in between the runs at Cups, and just I couldn't help staring up. I felt like the first time I really got a chance to see like the sky here in Wisconsin and actually see what stars are and stuff, and not all the light pollution I was used to. It felt like that. It's such a cool thing to do that arenas do. I love that. That's a fun part of the. I'm sure the weekend and I'm glad to hear. Glad to hear it was a good weekend. Thank you for doing your job as a reporter to let us know how that went. Nice job, Kev. I got to ask you real quick. This does have a Wisconsin tie to it when we talk about Russell Wilson. While it's been a lot of years since he was staying in a dorm in Madison, I do think that most people do think of him in a lot of ways as a Badger, even if it was only 1 year. And with that, we always look at our locals. We always look at people that we care about there. The Broncos are going to be eating $85 million in dead money charges against their salary cap over the next 2 years. That's how much they wanted to move on from Russell Wilson. I think he's still got a lot of ball in him. I think, especially right now, you've got a motivated Russell Wilson. Would you, if your team needed a QB, would you be looking at Russell Wilson?
I would. It's just hopefully, he had the rough couple of years there. That was toward the end there at Seattle and then there with Denver. He's going to be motivated. Mm. I think he's going to be okay. I really do. He's just got to get in with the right team. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And Denver, before they even brought Russell in, I don't think they were even a team that was even going to be close to being in the playoffs. And I hope, like you said, the 13th comes. The 14th, hopefully he signs. And I feel bad for the guy. I liked him when he was at Wisconsin. He played for Tampa, played against the Packers a couple times in the playoffs for one game. But I like Russell Wilson, and it's just sad to see that it come down to this and with everything that's happening. And I hope him the best. I hope he finally lands a good job. I know they were talking that, there might be some teams that – might bring him in as a backup with a young quarterback to try to help him out. I don't think Russell's in that position yet. I think he's got maybe one or two more good years and maybe be that guy that gives, be that quality backup with these young quarterbacks.
That quarterback position is so delicate and so vital in sports. To get that figured out or to at least have some hope in it. You'll spend the money you'll spend, the things that you will convince yourself of. I'm not even just talking as fans. I mean the ownership. I mean like GMs in that, what they'll do, especially coming out of this past weekend with the combine and everything. It's really going to be interesting to see where the quarterback carousel lands Russell and some of these others. As I'm getting ready to let you go, man, I didn't want to cut you off. If you had something, I did want to ask you about River Kings hockey and how much you've been enjoying this season.
The River Kings. I'll probably be there all weekend.
Yeah,
And that's the thing about because it's going to be the same with the Wisconsin Badgers too. Win Friday night, take that pressure off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that you can go on a Saturday, you can let her fly. You know, just fling it, you know, shoot the pucks. But get that one Friday night, it makes it a lot easier. But the one thing that you were kind of started keeping me up with the combine, and I wanted to ask you, I know we're kind of short on time here, we'll probably talk about it a little bit next week, but what do you think, Pat, what's going to happen now with the way things went with Dale or with Williams not wanting to do
I love it. I hope more players take the initiative to do that. With the amount of times that these kids got to throw, with the amount of game footage that we have of them, it's getting to the point where it's just kind of like ridiculous. Like it feels very like icky to me. As somebody who loves this stuff, I love the combine. I would put my love of the NFL draft against anybody. I put it up against Kamel Kiper. I that's how much I love the draft. But some of it is repetitive. And when you've got these, we all know how close every player, every body is to an injury. As the amount of money that's on these guys, the amount of hope that's on these guys, I want Caleb Williams to believe in himself that much and to trust the everything that's going to come. He's got a pro day coming up. It's not as if he's not going to throw at all. The idea that he didn't want to compete against others, miss me with that. That is the most low-hanging, sad kind of question I can think of. You get one question of Caleb Williams, and that's what you're going to ask. Like that seems like a waste of time to me.
Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't really the throwing stuff, but he also refused to do the teams do the physical.
Yeah, he was also the last player to leave. He was the last player to leave the combine. He thanked every single person that worked there, every scout, every person that was there. He went around and thanked everybody. I don't hear a lot of reporting about that or any notes that he got. You know, right. Should get credit for that or anything. Like these are kids, man. They're being asked to do something that none of us can even fathom what it's like to be in those shoes. And the way they handle themselves, I think, is impressive. To me, I've seen everything I need to see about Caleb Williams. Like, if he just wanted to sit back in an Adidas workout uniform from now until April, I got no problem with that. I want to see him in my team's jersey. That I'll be honest, I do. I we'll see what happens. It's my team, and we all know what they can do. The Bears had a secure running in the running back's position in Thomas Jones, get the fifth pick, highest pick they had in a long time. What do they do? Draft Cedric Benson. I mean, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. Who knows what they'll do? But if he comes to the NFC North, that is going to be good for everybody. That's eyeballs. That's money. That's going to be good for everybody.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. You know, and my first opinion when it comes to the combine, the top the guys that are going to they're projected to be drafted in the top three rounds.
Yeah.
Just let them have their pro day. They don't need to be in the combine.
I gotta let you go, Kev. I'm sorry, bud. We got to go right to the top of the hour here. But thank you, everybody, for joining us for Playmakers. We'll be back next week, 3 to 4, right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.